They say that to err is human, but doing it over and over, well, maybe that's a bit too human. Hi, I'm Rob West. Everyone makes mistakes with finances. The only difference is that some people learn from them and others don't. I'll talk about how you can learn from financial missteps today. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial journey. Well, we all need to learn from our mistakes and use that experience to constantly improve how we manage money. Fortunately, God's Word is full of wise advice to help us do that. The first mistake we often make is profound. It's spending more than we earn. This inevitably leads to debt, which is really financial bondage. We're all familiar with Proverbs 22:7. It reads, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is slave to the lender." You'll never get control of your finances unless you learn to live below your means. Keep in mind that we're primarily talking about consumer debt here. Other kinds of debt for a business, a mortgage, or education are in a separate class because they can actually lead to a greater financial return. Consumer debt, on the other hand, results in a net loss due to the interest you have to pay. The solution is a spending plan that enables you to live on less than you earn so that you can actually save money for the future. The free MoneyWise app can help with that. It has three different ways to set up your spending plan. It will also track your spending so you can stay on budget. However, the next financial mistake makes that difficult to do. It's letting your fixed expenses get out of control. Your regular bills always make up the biggest part of your budget, and the biggest part of your fixed expenses is usually your mortgage. You can easily become house poor by taking on too big a mortgage. That makes it difficult to meet your other obligations and to save. So you'll have to watch your other fixed expenses, such as car loans, insurance, cable, and utilities. Proverbs 21:20 warns, "There's precious treasure and oil in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man swallows it up." We have to be on constant lookout for ways to keep those fixed expenses as low as possible. The next financial mistake is buying something for emotional reasons, otherwise known as impulse buying. You see something and think it'll make your life better or give you a sense of happiness, only to discover days after that you're no better off. 1 John 2:15 reads, "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride in possessions, is not from the Father, but is from the world." Now, it's not wrong to enjoy the goodness of God's bounty. Just make sure that whatever you buy satisfies a real need or provides a lasting blessing. If you're not sure, apply the 30-day rule. If you want something, wait a month before you purchase it. By then, you'll probably have forgotten about it. The next financial misstep is buying something you simply can't afford. It's easy to know when that is because you'll probably have to use a credit card. So a good rule of thumb is, if you can't pay cash, don't buy it. Of course, the lesson here is really about being content with God's provision. 1 Timothy 6 instructs, "Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it." Using an all-cash or envelope system to manage your spending plan is a great way to avoid using credit or debit cards. And again, the MoneyWise app has a digital form of the cash envelope system. When the money in a particular category is gone, you have to stop spending or reallocate money from another category. The last mistake is not recognizing your weaknesses. It's often said that admitting you have a problem is the first step to solving it. And this really wraps up everything we've been talking about. If you have a weakness in one of these areas, admit it and take steps to correct it. For example, do you stay up late watching infomercials or, quote, window shopping on Amazon? If so, admit to yourself that you have a problem, then turn off the tube or close your laptop to avoid the temptation of overspending. That takes a certain amount of humility. Our pride doesn't want us to admit we have a problem managing money, but Proverbs 16:18 warns, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. All right, your calls are next. 800-525-7000. Call that number 24/7. We're always open. 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
Satan has developed an intricate strategy to destroy Christians and overthrow God's kingdom, and he's enlisted a massive army to help carry out his plan. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress unveils the invisible world of demons and spiritual warfare. Join us for an eye-opening study called The Divine Defense, this week on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
Their marriage was saved through prayer and two willing hearts. On the next Focus on the Family, a former military couple, Chad and Kathy Robichaux, share how God helped them to overcome PTSD and a separation to see their marriage restored. Hear the details of how they survived against the odds on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing helps Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors who are just getting started, those making investment choices for a company retirement plan or college savings account, and people getting close to their retirement years. SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information is at soundmindinvesting.org. The website also features many articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
In response to Roe v. Wade being overturned, a growing number of companies are offering to pay their employees travel and medical costs to get an abortion if they can't get one close to home. However, a veteran-owned insurance company in Texas called Buffer is offering to pay for birth and adoption costs for employees. Maybe if we place more value on human life in the womb, there wouldn't be as many people taking human life with a gun. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Taking your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to hear from you. Let's head to the phones today. We're going to begin in Arkansas. Burl, thanks for calling. Go right ahead, sir.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on. I really like your show.
Thank you.
This is a little off the subject you have for today, but last week you had a session on You Can't Outgive God.
Yes, sir.
One thing my father used to always tell me is you can't outgive him, but you can't outstingy him either. If you try to close up your pockets and he closes up his pockets, it will hurt you a lot worse than it'll hurt him.
I like that. Yeah, you know, last week, to your point, Burl, we were talking about this idea. We often hear this saying, you can't outgive God. Well, that's not a Bible quote, clearly, but as we look at that, we can really explore that idea, and really, I think it comes down to our expectations in the matter of giving. Are we trying to outgive God? Are we trying to earn God's favor? Do we expect material success when we're generous? Because none of those those expectations are biblical. In fact, really, our giving should be an expression of gratitude for God's great gift to us. But to your point, you can't out-stingy him either. I like the picture, Burl, of the open hand. You know, if we hold things loosely with an open hand, the Lord can take something out, but he can also put something back in, right? But if we hold it with a tight clenched fist as if to say it's our own and not his, well, nothing comes out, but nothing goes in either. And I think those pictures are appropriate when we think about what God is saying to us in the Council of Scripture. Obviously, your dad had a huge impact on you, Burl, it sounds like, as you think about managing the money you've been entrusted. Is that right?
Yes. I'm not near as good as he was. He got by on nothing and did pretty good at it. But the example he used is the Dead Sea. You know, the water coming into the Dead Sea, when it comes out of the Jordan River, it has life, it has fish, it has things living in it. Water comes in, water goes out, it hits the Dead Sea, which has no outlets. Mm. Water goes in, it turns brackish, it can't support life. It's just a big septic tank.
Yes, that's right. Well, it sounds like your dad was a wise man, and he obviously had a profound impact on your life. I love that picture as well, Burl. You're exactly right. You know, God's intention is not for us to be a reservoir where his provision stops with us. Rather, we should be a pipeline where it flows through us into God's activity. And to your point, that is where life is found and the great privilege of being able to partner with God where he's at work. So, Burl, thank you for weighing in on the program and sharing those nuggets of wisdom that you learned from your father. We appreciate it.
Have a great day.
All right. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you. Whatever's on your mind today, whether it's your spending plan, trying to pay down debt, maybe you're saving for the future, we'd love to hear what's on your mind. Again, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. Adam standing by to receive your call. We can get you on quickly. And if you'd like to be anonymous, we could certainly accommodate that. You know, we began today by talking about learning from financial missteps. And one of those ideas that we need to learn is around spending more than we earn. We want to live on or within our means, I might say, and that's really the key to every financial success beyond understanding that God owns it all. That spending plan, the ability to plan our finances in such a way that we can control the flow of money in and out, cover our bills, our expenses, whether that's our fixed expenses, those things we get a bill for in the mail, or our discretionary spending, the things we don't get a bill for. You might put that in the category of eating out or picking up some clothes or going on vacation, all of that discretionary spending. When we can plan that out and give every dollar a name, we have the ability to make decisions, control our finances, and make sure that money is not slipping through our hands. And that really is the beginning point of financial success. You know, lifestyle, your lifestyle is going to be your biggest determinant of whether or not you can build wealth over time or have margin for other purposes, like being able to bless others. And, you know, that's really the key. The other secret to financial margin is around marriage. You know, my good friend, Dr. Shanti Feldhahn, a Harvard researcher who wrote the book Thriving in Love and Money, really studied with a significant research project along with her husband, Jeff, this idea of money in marriage and what some of the biggest hindrances are in marriage related to money, because 70% of married couples report that money is a source of conflict in their marriage. And as she began to look at some of the key factors in overcoming money as an obstacle or a barrier to marital harmony, she uncovered several things, two of which I thought were really key. Number one, you won't be surprised to know that the ability to communicate well about money and regularly with intentionality is key to being able to have a productive marriage in the area of money and money management. Our friend and former host of this program, Howard Dayton, would call it a money date. that he recommended couples have at least monthly, where they're sitting down, not to point fingers, but just to evaluate. How are things going? What course corrections do we need to make? What's on the horizon that we need to be addressing? Having a system to control the flow of money so that you can evaluate your progress. How are we doing in our various envelopes? So which ones are nearly depleted? And what changes do we need to make to cut back? Especially in light of these inflationary times, being able to evaluate where you're at, where spending is up, perhaps not from anything you've done, but just because of outside factors, and being able to respond to that is really key. So communication was number one. But if there was one single thing that was even more important than communication in trying to overcome some of the challenges of money in marriage, it was this idea of margin. And that's really interesting. It wasn't about how much the couples made, what their income was, that determined whether or not they were going to be effective in communicating about money. It was the ability to have margin at any income level. And here's the idea. When there's a little bit more than what's being spent, there's some left over at the end of the month, that single factor was the most significant in terms of removing the challenges that come in a marriage relationship related to money specifically. And so give that some thought. Think about perhaps going back to your spending plan and thinking about what changes might need to be made so that you can rein in your spending, begin to dial certain things back, balance the budget, and get to a place of margin so that after your giving and after all of your expenses and after you're saving toward that company-sponsored retirement plan and you've got that emergency fund in place, that there's still something left over to accomplish your goals, whether that's to give more or maybe additional savings goals down the road. You want the ability to buy another home, and so you're saving up for that. You want the ability to replace an automobile that's at the end of its useful life and do that with cash. All of these things, your goals that really should align with your values and priorities, need margin to be able to accomplish them. So today, perhaps consider, what does it look like for us to get more serious about living within our means? I think you'll find a world of benefits to that. Not only will you be able to accomplish your goals, you might find that it helps you to communicate even better in marriage as it relates to this topic of money. All right, your call is just around the corner, 800-525-7000. We've got lines open. Give us a call right now, and we'll be right back.
The Truth for Youth Bible has been instrumental in more than 25,000 young people receiving Christ over the last 20 years.
When I was 10 years old, my parents got a divorce. I felt so worthless. A few days ago, my friend Monica gave me a Truth for Youth Bible. As I was reading the comics, I felt like Jesus was giving me a big warm hug. And I know that sounds weird, but that's how I felt. I asked Jesus to come into my heart, and the Truth for Youth Bible explained to me how to do that. It healed so many emotional hurts that I had. It changed my life.
AFR and Revival Fires International want to get 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teens. This week, we're giving every youth 13 to 18 a free Truth for Youth Bible if they promise to give it to a friend at school. Order yours today at 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737 between 8:30 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central. Or visit truthforyouth.com anytime.
Did you know the MoneyWise listener call-in line at 800-525-7000 is open for business 24 hours a day? It's the number that never sleeps. So when the kids are off to school or you have a few minutes before that power lunch with a client, give us a call and leave your question. We use as many of them as we can on the show. 800-525-7000 is all you need to know to get biblically based answers to your questions here at MoneyWise. Call anytime. You won't catch us napping.
Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I couldn't have had the procedure I needed without CHM's help sharing the bills. That letter from a member displays Christian Healthcare Ministry's purpose to glorify God and serve His people. CHM is the original non-insurance voluntary health cost sharing ministry, enabling its members to share the cost of each other's medical bills. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
Well, we'd always wanted to leave some of our money for God, but we didn't know where or how.
Bernie and Alice Larson are faithful supporters of the American Family Association.
we felt like this was put into our laps as answer to our prayers. This is what we could do after we're gone.
You can learn more about charitable annuities and other financial products at AFAFoundation.net or call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We've got our phone lines open. We'd love to take your calls and questions on anything financial today. Whatever's on your mind, pick up the phone. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. We'd love to tackle your debt repayment questions, your giving strategy. What about the investments that you have in light of these volatile times? The NASDAQ off to a rough start today. The Dow Jones and the S&P pretty much flat. Still waiting for a lot of economic data in the weeks ahead that would signal whether or not we have slipped into a recession, despite last week's really strong jobs number, but continuing to watch every facet of this economy as we navigate our way through. 800-525-7000. Before we go to the phones, a quick email. This one came to us from John. He writes, I had a bankruptcy. I've been out of it for 8 years. How do I get my credit back? And, John, this is a challenging question. I think the good news is that with regard to credit reports, the most recent information impacts you the most. So a late payment today is more significant than a bankruptcy even 8 years ago. And so I think the key for you is to be an on-time payer. First, you're going to want to get that credit file, make sure everything's correct, and monitor it. Then you want to, of course, make your payments on time. The extent to which you can begin to reestablish credit is key, and perhaps a secured credit card might be the thing for you, John. Essentially, you'd put an amount on deposit with a financial institution like a bank. They'll issue a secured credit card against it. Secured meaning that the amount that you charge is going to be limited to the amount on deposit. So they have no risk, because if you don't make your payment or pay it back in a timely fashion, they have the ability to pull the collateral, which is the deposit, and pay off the balance. You, though, have the ability to charge against that and perhaps use a budgeted item that's recurring, maybe just a small charge that would hit the account every month that you would then pay off in full, thereby paying no interest. But even more than that, by having that reported to the bureau, would be reported as an on-time payer. That is a key idea for you to begin to reestablish yourself and demonstrate yourself to be trustworthy with regard to managing your financial affairs. So here's the key. Make sure you're an on-time payer, and I would keep all of your balances at zero. I would also say, going back to that spending plan that we were talking about earlier on the program, John, is so key. And if you need some help with that, putting that plan in place, looking at your income, really helping to craft a budget that's going to work for your needs, our team would be happy to help you. We have volunteer coaches that would be delighted to come alongside you at no cost, help you get that plan set up, talk you through it, perhaps even with a fresh set of eyes, give you some new ideas on how you can manage God's money effectively. So if you head to our website, moneywise.org, you can click our community tab where you can post questions in our community, but you can also connect with one of our coaches there as well. And again, that may be just what you're looking for. John, thanks for your email. By the way, if you have an email you'd like to send it to our team, perhaps to be read on the air, many of them are, or at the very least to be responded to personally by one of our coaches, you can send that along to us at questions@moneywise.org. Questions@moneywise.org. It looks like we had a question that went away. I'm not sure if we're having a challenge with our phone system, but the question that just came in was related to spending plans and marriage when the couple is not on the same page. And I think that's so often a challenge. We hear from so many folks that say, you know what, in marriage, we just can't seem to agree on our spending plan. How do we proceed when we're on different pages about how much should we give and how much should we save and what's the right amount to be spending on our lifestyle? And I've got a hobby over here and you've got one over there. How do we come together? And here's what I would say about that. You know, this is an area that I think God cares a lot about. You know, his design is unity in marriage, and that includes every facet of our marriages, including our money. And so one of the very best ways, I think, to pursue that unity that is God's intention for us in marriage is to start on our knees together as husband and wife, just to begin by praying. Invite the Lord into your financial situation. Ask him to be a part of your finances, and then do some planning. Even before you get to the budget, the actual spending plan, begin to write down, perhaps separately and then together, what are our values? What's most important to us? If money is a tool to accomplish God's purposes, how can we use it to accomplish where we believe the Lord is taking us? And as you begin to articulate those values, then the spending plan is actually just a reflection of your priorities. And then it can become the instrument of peace as you work together to say, you know, we have a priority to give. We have a priority to save. We want to prioritize being able to send our kids to college. We want to build memories every year with a family vacation if we can. How do we order our finances in such a way that we limit spending so we can pursue these things that are really important and valuable to us? And how can we build in some perhaps fun money, if you will, for each of us to do the things we enjoy? Well, as you work together on that spending plan, and I know it gets allocated very quickly and you'll end up, you know, running to the end of it probably sooner than you hope to, it can be, if you work together on it, that instrument of peace that brings you together, that reflects both of you, but more importantly, together as one flesh, everything that God is doing in your life and where you believe he's taking you. Give that a try. Start with prayer. Talk about your values and then build the plan accordingly. And let's see if God doesn't do a work in that particular area of your life. All right, in just a moment, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Mike in Louisiana will get to your question, and then perhaps yours as well. We do have some lines open, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Before we head to this break, though, let me just remind you quickly, as you've heard, you heard yesterday and you've already heard again today during the breaks, it's National Truth for Youth Bible Week here on American Family Radio as we partner with Revival Fires International to provide God's word to teens. Every teen that wants one, would you request one on behalf of your teen? It'll be sent to you free of charge as long as they promise to pass it along to a friend. Just head to truthforyouth.com. Help us give away 60,000 Bibles and put those in the hands of teens. Truthforyouth.com. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The world in word pictures viewed through the love of Christ.
Well, some of the people that I met, there was no way in the world we could meet with any Christians in North Korea. That would have been a death sentence for them. And so it was in northern Manchuria where they had escaped. And the story from all of them was that three generations of their families were wiped out if they were even caught with a Bible. The cruelty is just incomprehensible.
Listen to Sandy Rios weekday mornings at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Sound Mind Investing offers investing guidance grounded in the stewardship principles found in Scripture. Since 1990, SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians acquire knowledge and confidence related to investing and overall money management. Regardless of your investing experience or how much you have to invest, you can learn to be a wise and faithful steward in the area of investing. More information about SMI and its approach to financial wisdom for living well is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really,
you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. More than 50,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free MoneyWise account by going to moneywise.org and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We'd love to hear from you today. Let's go right back to the phones. Louisiana Mike, thanks for your patience. Go right ahead, sir.
Thank you. Good morning. I have a question. I'm 56, retiring, because of the pension. If I would wait until January, I would lose over roughly $20,000. So I'm retiring in November to get the most I can out of my pension.
Okay.
What should I do with that pension? Roll it over into a IRA, mutual fund, something that would not make a whole bunch of money, but not lose a whole bunch neither.
Yeah. Well, obviously, if you can maximize the value of that by retiring, that seems to make some sense. Just a question, though, before I weigh in, are you planning to continue to work and perhaps just go to work somewhere else?
Yes, I have a business that I'm going to just do full time.
I see. Okay, very good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So this sounds like it makes sense. You can roll a pension into an IRA. You know, the benefit of that, Mike, is that, as you said, you would not only maximize the value of that pension that you're then able to roll over as a lump sum, but as soon as you get it into the IRA, you have complete control over how it's managed. You could leave it in cash. You could invest it in mutual funds or exchange-traded funds, stocks or bonds, and you have control over who is managing it as well. You could choose to do that yourself, either on your own or with the assistance of a service like or a newsletter like Sound Mind Investing, or you could hire an investment advisor, a money manager, to actually take discretion as a fiduciary to make the buying and selling decisions of the investments based on your goals and objectives. And you'd, of course, have the ability to determine who you hire, including not only their expertise and their ability to understand what you're trying to accomplish, but also their fee structure, which varies, you know, quite a bit. So I think that's a good option. I think the next step for you is to determine kind of how long you plan to continue to work. You said you own your own business. So the nice thing is if you don't need this money anytime soon, you could roll it out and put it to work in a diversified portfolio that makes sense in light of your age, goals, and objectives. You know, the typical rule of thumb, which used to be 100 minus your age, we now raise it because people are living longer to 110 minus your age. You know, at 56, that would be, you know, you'd probably want somewhere between 50 and 60% of that portfolio in stocks, and then maybe somewhere between 40 and 50% in bonds. If you want to try to keep it a little more stable, while you're, working for these next, let's say, 10 years or so, and you may decide just to continue on working beyond 65 if you have good health. But I think that's really the next step for you beyond rolling it to the IRA, Mike, is to decide how you want it managed. Would you like to turn this over to an advisor, or did you have something else in mind?
Well, for the last couple of years, I'm a member with Dan Celia, Financial Issues, but
right.
He's no longer with us, so and it's hard for me to catch Sandy now. Oh, not Sandy. I can't remember her name right offhand. But anyhow, I've talked to a couple people around here, and I'm just trying to get opinions from different people, gather all this stuff up and put it together and figure out what I'm going to do.
Yeah, very good. Well, let me recommend as one of those options, Mike, you head to our website, moneywise.org, click the button that says Find a CKA, which stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. These are men and women who have significant experience, character and competence, pastor references, client references, but they've also been trained to bring a biblical worldview of money to bear in their financial advice. I'd interview two or three of those folks to find out if one of those seems to be a good fit for you. But I think, the Bible is very clear about the benefit of wise counsel. And if you were to approach this that way to say, all right, I've decided I'm going to retire. I'm going to pursue this business. I want to continue to work. But I want to be a good steward of the assets, which are significant that I built up to this point in the pension, and get that managed wisely with a long-term perspective. I think you'll be happy that you did, because you'll have some up and downs for sure along the way. But, a decade from now, I think this is going to be the very best way to overcome the effects of inflation and grow this portfolio in a way that's responsible and consistent with what you're trying to accomplish. And having somebody that you can delegate that responsibility to that can execute the strategy, your strategy on your behalf, I think would be really worthwhile.
Okay, great. That's moneywise.org, and then click CKA.
Yeah, Find a CKA, which stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor. You can do a zip code search. You'll get a list of CKAs in your area, and I'd interview two or three and find the one that's the best fit. Mike, we appreciate your call today. God bless you, sir. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Let's talk for just a moment about our identity. Before we head back to the phones, your identity answers this question. Who are you? This is a hot issue right now in our culture because it seems like there's a lot of confusion about what determines your identity. But as believers, our true identity is in Christ. Now, I want to look, though, for a second at what happens when we let money define us and explain why this perspective is really nothing more than a trap. First, we can either feel prideful or ashamed based on how much money we have. We assume, even as believers many times, that wealth means success, and therefore a lack of money means failure. We tend to look down on those who have less, and we envy those who have more. Second, when our identity is in money, we compare ourselves to others. The end result of this is that we become discontented with who we are and what we have. If money is who you are, well, it's never enough. And then third, here's my other observation, that when we let money define us, we think our personal value comes from what we do. We begin to believe that our identity is found in our work or our income or our spending choices. Those are some of the ways that I've observed over a long time of doing this that can happen when we put our identity in money. And this kind of thinking is really a trap for two reasons. First of all, it's a backwards perspective because it looks at a person from the outside in. This worldview says your success as a person is based on the externals, how you look, what you own, what you choose, how you perform. Well, that's superficial and ultimately meaningless. The Christian's identity is based on the internals, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, living in us, the Holy Spirit. Second, an identity based on money is, well, frankly, unsatisfying because financial circumstances, they change. Now, you feel good about yourself when you've got money and bad when you don't, and it's a mistake to pin your identity to something so uncertain. But here's the reality. Christians can avoid the trap of using external things like money to determine our identity by remembering that our true identity is in Christ. No need for pride or shame or comparisons. We are all sinners saved by grace, resting in Christ alone who does not change. Let me take you to Galatians 3:28 as I wrap up this thought. It reads, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. There is nor male or female. You are all one in Christ Jesus." It doesn't matter what your job is or whether you just remodeled your kitchen the size of your bank account. Your identity is not about what you do or what you have. It's Jesus in you, your hope of glory. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers real truth for today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
Siri, open my food delivery app.
Before you order in again, are you sure that's in your budget?
What budget?
Exactly. You need the free MoneyWise app. With its electronic envelope budgeting system, you'll know exactly where every dollar is going, and you can finally stay on top of your money.
I guess that does sound like a pretty good idea. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay. Searching for MoneyWise in the App Store. Learn more at MoneyWise.org.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open. We'd love to hear from you. Back to the phones we go. Mississippi, Ava, thank you for calling. You go right ahead.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, I told the screener there that it's humbling for me to admit that I'm not really sure how my retirement plan is going. Okay. I'm 70. My husband's 75. We're both retired. We do have IRAs, and we have the Roth IRAs.
Okay.
I have stock in the community bank that I retired from.
Okay.
It's about $350,000, I think, is the dollar figure that it's worth. And I'm not sure exactly what to do with that. And as I said, the dividend is not coming to me.
Okay.
And I believe I was told if I wanted the dividend, they would like take it, they would disperse it like it's an IRA disbursement. Does that tell you?
Well, what type of account is that bank stock in? Is it just in a taxable account or is it in a retirement account?
Well, it was our employee stock account.
Okay. Yeah.
So we were accruing the stock, you know, as the years, you know, they'd buy stock for us. And so I worked there for 42 years, and so I have quite a bit of the stock.
Yes. Okay, very good.
And now I'm just wondering what I should do. At some point, I will have to start taking disbursements from it, like the IRA is sort of what I understand, like it's 72 and a half or whatever the figure is now.
Yes. Okay, very good. And this $350,000 you have in bank stock where you worked previously, Ava, how does that relate to your overall investable assets? What do you have outside of this account in investable assets?
Well, I do have an IRA. I think it's like $80,000 in it, and Roth IRA that's, I don't remember right now exactly what the Roth is. We've been taking some funds out of the Roth. We actually took some money out of the IRA last year and, you know, paid the taxes on it just because the notion that the taxes are going to go up.
Yeah. Very good. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. Well, it sounds like, though, that this particular, the bank stock portfolio you have is the majority of your investable assets. Is that right?
It is.
Yeah. And it's in a single bank. Is that also correct?
That is correct.
Yeah. And so that would be my first concern, Ava, is just the you're considered what's called highly concentrated. And I'd love for you to be much more diversified because we have the largest portion of your investable assets at the risk of one company that's not only, you know, in one sector, the financial sector, but it's one particular company. So if they have a bad quarter or a bad year, they miss their earnings, you know, we're putting a lot of faith in this company. Now, I realize you worked there 30 years. You probably have some affinity to it. It may be very well run. It has performed well in the past, but it's just, it's high, it's risky when we're dependent upon one company as opposed to being more diversified. So I think what's probably happening here is this is was given to you inside of a retirement plan, and therefore the dividends are in that qualified plan as well. So that when you, if you wanted to take them out as income instead of reinvesting them, which is what's happening automatically, it would actually be a distribution, which then makes it taxable. So that makes sense to me. The thing that I would though want to do is to say, okay, we've built up a significant amount of assets, perhaps, you know, as much as maybe approaching $500,000. Now is time to consolidate this all into one place, perhaps inside that IRA plus the Roth, which you certainly would want to leave there, and then deploy an investment strategy that's more diversified so that you're not, you know, so highly concentrated and at the risk of the performance of one specific company. You can capture kind of the broad moves of the market, whether that's through, you know, still dividend paying stocks that are very high quality, or whether that's through, you know, a dividend paying stock strategy plus fixed income, meaning, you know, bonds. Once the interest rates, you know, stop rising, we could deploy a fixed income strategy that adds even more income, but again, doesn't have you so focused on one particular company. And to do that, I would recommend, as we talked about with Mike a moment ago, having a professional advisor who really understands you all, spends a lot of time asking a lot of questions, getting to know you. What are you trying to accomplish? How much income need do you have? What's your risk tolerance? All of these things. And then based on his or her experience and understanding of the Council of Scripture, can deploy a well thought out investment strategy that gets you a little more diversified, but still in line with what you're trying to accomplish. How does that sound, though?
Well, that sounds like wise counsel.
Well, that's at least something I would consider. I mean, I realize you've probably done well, and it may be hard to let go, and it doesn't mean you have to let go of all of it by any means, but I think you will be, you know, it's wise to think about diversifying. It's really applying what we read in Ecclesiastes, Ava, divide your portion to seven or to even eight, because we don't know what will happen on the earth. And I think, you know, that idea is this modern term of diversification. That I think will serve you pretty well. So unless you have somebody, a trusted advisor to go to, I'd recommend you head to our website, moneywise.org, click find a CKA that stands for Certified Kingdom Advisor, look for a CKA there in Mississippi or several of them that you and your husband could interview to find one that would be a good fit for you. It's not that you can't manage this on your own. I think the question question is just, do you want to, in this season of life, you know, take that full responsibility on yourself, or would you rather have a trusted advisor that you know is really waking up every day thinking about managing this in a way that serves your best interest? And I think given the significant amount of money you've accrued over time, that makes a lot of sense to me. All right?
Okay.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much.
You are welcome, Ava. Thank you for calling. May God bless you and your husband during this wonderful season of your life. We appreciate it. 800-525-7000. A quick email that came to us from Jason. And, you know, this is a tough one, and I think, you know, reflects where so many folks are at. Jason writes, I've been going through a struggle with God for a while. I'm a giver. I take care of my budgeting. I'm not making progress on my debts, though. I tend to put others' needs before my own. I recognize all the money I have is God's, but I feel guilty about paying my student loans instead of helping the poor. Rob, what is your advice? And Jason, first of all, let me just say that it sounds like you have the gift of giving. You know, as we think about the gifts that God entrusts to us, we read about many of those gifts in Scripture. I think one of those is some folks are even, you know, blessed more than others with the gift of giving. It's just part of who they are. And I would say it's a portrayal or a reflection of an attribute of God, the ultimate giver that you have. And that's wonderful. Let's celebrate that. But I think we need to put that in the context of the other ideas that we see in Scripture that should govern how we handle God's money, including the admonition that we need to honor our obligations. And so as you take on, in this case, debt, whether that's school loan debt or some other kind of debt, I think honoring that obligation is clearly found in Scripture. And there's nothing more spiritual about paying your debts or giving. You know, I think those are two things that are clearly supported by Scripture, in addition to providing for our families and saving for the future. So the question, Jason, is how do we honor all of these things that God has asked us to do and do it in a way that pleases Him? And I think it's really about starting on your knees and saying, okay, first, I'm going to honor my obligations because I need to make, as the Bible says, an absolute commitment to repay. God's word says the wicked borrows and does not repay. It can't be any clearer than that. So that's a non-negotiable. We need to provide for ourselves and our family. That means we need to live within our means, and we need to do that with contentment. But here's the thing, Jason. As you begin to make progress toward honoring your obligation, which clearly the Lord has instructed us to do, and you get out of debt, you're ultimately going to have more money to give away. So you can lean into that desire that God has given you to be found faithful in giving others, meeting the needs of the poor, identifying people on your path that perhaps are going unnoticed by others that you're seeing and you can bless. And so I would just say, let's go back to your finances and look at reining in spending and getting out of debt as a means to be able to do more giving. And perhaps that will give you a renewed excitement and energy and vision for getting out of debt as quickly as you can so that you have more ultimately to give away. Think about this. There's really only four things we can do with money. There's the money we live on, the money we give, the money we owe, and the money we grow. Well, once we cap our lifestyle, then live is off the table, other than just continuing to pay the bills we've agreed to in our spending plan. Once we get out of debt, owe is off the table. Well, that just leaves grow and give. And once you've defined how much is enough for your accumulation long term, then the only thing left is giving. And we can continue to increase that over time. So let's get you out of debt. Let's cap your lifestyle. Let's decide how much is enough to save for the future. And that's not something I can tell you. That's between you and the Lord. But once that's done, then the only one that continues to grow as God provides is the giving. And then you can really have some fun seeing what God has for you, identifying those opportunities, and giving as He leads. Jason, thanks for that question today. I hope this was an encouragement to you. Folks, if you have a question, you can send it along to us at questions@moneywise.org. What a privilege to be with you today. Let me quickly remind you again before the end of the program, this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week. Help us give 60,000 Bibles to teens. We're going to do that by sending one to your 13 to 18 year old who promises to pass it along to a friend at school who doesn't know Jesus. It includes the complete New Testament and the issues of the day that they're wrestling with. Head to truthforyouth.com or 800-733-4737. I want to say thank you to my team today, Mr. Adam Suddeth, Robert Sutherland, and Devin Patrick. Thank you for being here as well. So grateful to be able to come alongside you each morning to be able to explore the scriptures and apply God's truth to your financial decisions. You have a great day and come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.